Let us continue. We are up to. We are in the beginning of Perek Hey. Okay, yesterday we learned three psukim. We went through all the farshim. Okay, get it right by side. We are up to Perek Hey. We learned yesterday three psukim. Let me turn to the right page. Okay, we're up to Perek Hey. We learned yesterday pasuk. Gimel, Dalet, and Hey. That were really Dalet, Hey, and Vav. We learned yesterday, Pasuk, Dalet, Hey, and Vav. We learned the Rashi, we learned the Mitzvot, we learned the Radak, and we learned the Mal. Now let's just see the Chidah. There's a Chidah, and there is some Amori Chazal. Okay, so let's take a look at the Chumash Hanoch. The Chumash Anoch, no, there is no Chumash. I mean, there is no Chumash Anoch in these Psalms. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. The Mincha that was later on, but there was a Maimer Chazal, I believe, that we didn't do yet. No, that we did everything. Okay, Baruch Hashem did everything, so let's now go on to the next Pasuk. Pasuk Zayin. Let's do a few Pasukim together. Pasuk Zayin. Ha'ivchim l'lana mishpat utztaka l'aretz hanichu. This Pasuk is a complaint against Jewish people. The Jewish people, they abandon Mishpat Lilana. Lilana is bitter wood. Okay, it's a bitter herb. It's something which is very bitter.
And wormwood.
Wormwood. Utstaka la'aretz hanichu, and they throw the earth down. They throw tzedakah. Righteousness is they step upon. It's worthless. Now these two things, mishpat utstaka, melech ohei tzedakah. Mishpat are the two most beautiful things. Things which Hashem was melech ohev tzedakah u'mishpat. And here Hashem is complaining to Klal Yisrael, you take the two treasures that I have in Shemayim, the two ideals which is beloved by me, and look what you do to it. You take mishpat and you transform it into something bitter. It's bitter to embrace mishpat. Better take bribes, better be corrupt. Tzedakah. Tzedakah can mean many, many things. We always had this, we discussed many times. Tzedakah can mean to give a person more than he deserves. Like, well, tzedakah, you give the mitzvah of tzedakah. Well, but really, it means tzedek. Tzedek means justice. I guess it's similar to mishpat. This mishpat, what?
It's
righteousness. Do what is correct. What is correct. Sometimes you have to do what is correct. Okay, there are many
tzedek.
There are many interpretations of what it means. Tzedek, we're not going to go into that. But basically, we know that these two things are very similar in concept. Mishpat is justice. Tzedek is righteousness. What is correct? What is true? What is proper? And these two things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, obviously, He loves them. He cherishes these midas, and as we say in davening every single day, and here there's a complaint against us that we have taken these things, we have transformed them into things which are bitter and things which are worthless. Pasuk Ches, Oisei Chima Uchasil, they make Chima Uchasil. Now we have to really see the Mefarshim and how, what this word, this goes back.
This is your ballpark.
Okay.
Yeah.
They switch their job. Kima, let's right away see the mitzvah. We'll go over everything together in one shot, but it's a little bit difficult. The pshut shel mikra, there are two stars in heaven. One is called Kima, and one is called Kisil. The mitzvah says that Kima is mikorer. Kima is a star, it is a force of nature, and whatever this thing means, which brings coldness into this world. Kisil is a star, a force of nature, which brings into this world heat. And both of them are necessary in the proper time. It's a mashal. Klal Yisrael, they make kima uchasil, they interchange them. Oisei over here means, there's an unusual use of the word, is they interchange, they're corrupt. Even the basic things in life, they invert, they transform, which brings into this world degree of corruption. When we'll go in the first, we'll see this more clearly, in more detail, what this means. They turn boker, morning, into the shadow of death. The shadow of death, obviously, is darkness. They've made day, they've made it dark like night. Hakare l'mei hayam, they call to the waters of the sea, vayishbechem al pnei ha'aretz, and they throw the waters of the sea on the earth. In other words, the yam, where does the yam belong? The yam belongs in the yam. The aretz is the aretz. These are two separate things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, yikavu hamayim mitachas l'rakia v'seiro'eh hayabasha. There's a boundary. There is mayim and there is aretz. Each one has its boundary. The Jewish people, they call the yam, they call the yam to come forth and to be spilled upon the Pnei Haaretz. In other words, the entire thing of the essence of the Hashem Shemaya, who is saying this? Hashem is Hashem. What does those two words fit in the pasuk? We have to see. Hashem Shemaya. Hashem is his name. Hashem basically is making this statement. Hashem here is issuing a complaint that the Jewish people are thoroughly corrupt. And the way we express corruptness is there are no boundaries. Okay, that's the key to the game. In life, there have to be established boundaries. The yam is not supposed to come upon the earth. The darkness is not supposed to dull light. Light is not supposed to enter into the domain of darkness. Okay, when it's supposed to be cold, the cold is not supposed to interfere with the heat, and the heat is not supposed to interfere with cold. Everything has boundaries in this world. And when you start breaking the boundaries, then the world comes to an end. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was almost come out obsessed with Hagbalah. There has to be set up boundaries. The Jewish people should not come towards the mountain. They have to stay far away. And then there's going to be the Kohanim, they come, the Levim, they come further. And you, Moshe, and Yehoshua, you go all the way up to Shemaim, you go up the mountain. Hagbel es ha'om v'ki dashto. Establish boundaries. And then Hashem says to Moshe, go tell the people to set up boundaries. And then Hashem says to Moshe, and Moshe does. And Hashem says, go tell them again. And Moshe says, I told them already. How many times already? Do you want me to go tell them this? Hashem says, follow orders. Don't challenge me. I want you to go. Hashem is mamish obsessed. He's obsessed to the degree with Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, you told it to me already. How many? What?
I learned that Hashem understood human nature.
Okay.
Here and, they just do what
and Moshe didn't understand human nature? Right. And Moshe Rabbeinu did not understand? Moshe was a leader. He did not understand? And it's the whole thing is a pella. Moshe is talking to Hashem like, you know, he's like, he's Hashem, he's his student, right? He's a B-minus student. You told it to me already. You don't have to tell me 100 times. The conversation there is just beyond understanding. What is going on? This is the Ribbono Shel Olam. And Hashem tells you to do something. First of all, why is Hashem telling Moshe multiple times to set the boundaries and to remind the people not to go past the boundary? And why does Moshe question Hashem? Why are you repeating this instruction multiple times? I don't know the answer. Okay, I don't know the answer.
What I just told you.
Human nature, but Moshe didn't know human nature, and Moshe questions Hashem. Even if Moshe in Echnami, Moshe doesn't understand the depth. If Hashem tells you to do it, you do it. You don't go question Hashem. You told me already. That's not the way you talk to Hashem.
Moshe and Hashem have
a different relationship.
It's not like you and me talking to God.
I don't know. It's still Adarabba. The closer you are to Hashem, the closer you are to Hashem, the more your relationship is even more intense. Listen, that's not the point. The point over here is Kadosh Baruch Hu. One thing we take out of this, and we see when it comes to the giving of the Torah, there was an obsession, this principle called Hagbalah. Hagbalah is not one of the Tayag mitzvahs. It was a one-time event. When the Torah was given, the Jewish people should not come too close to the mountain. It's not something which we continue to use. There's not one of the Tayag mitzvahs. So why then the Kadosh Baruch Hu did he insist? The answer is the concept of Hagbalah is a theme which permeates the Kol HaTorah Kula.
We see in the Beis
HaMikdash,
though, boundaries.
Exactly. It permeates. Exactly. So the theme, it's not only that. The theme of Hagbalah is something which permeates every element of Kol HaTorah Kula, and the Hagdama to Matan Torah was an intensity, get it into your skull, get it into your thick head, that the Torah is all about boundaries.
But the example that this pasuk is giving water and light. And they do not have boundaries. We have such a thing as Bein HaShemashos. We have a beach. It's not... tying into what
that is absolutely true.
Here.
There's no such thing in the Torah as going from A to B. There's a transition point, but there is transition, and after you finish the transition, you're completely separate. There is a point where there is Havdalah. Here, Klal Yisrael is being complained is that there is no difference whatsoever. There's no difference whatsoever. Everything can be mixed. Everything can be interchanged. There's no difference between the genders, male and female. There's no difference between right and wrong. There's a blurring. Everything becomes like the Bein Hashmashos. You're right, there is a Bein Hashmashos. You're right, there is a beach where there they come together. That's the way the world is. But after you go a couple of feet out of the beach, that's it. There's no more. There's dry land. And if there's water on the street, then we know we're in a lot of trouble. You go to the beach, there are waves, very, very nice. And you live in your home where there's water in your basement, you got a problem. Okay? If it's 12 o'clock in the afternoon and it's pitch black dark outside, we know that we're in trouble. The world is coming to an end. It's all about boundaries. Boundaries between men and women, between Kohanim and Levim and Yisraelim, even among Kohanim. Each one has their job. Levim, if your job is to be a gatekeeper, you can never, ever, your whole life be a singer.
Play. We're now facing a time in
society,
that we're
exactly.
Losing these boundaries.
Exactly,
right.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head.
It's a very bad idea.
You're saying something very profound, that the goyim are breaking down all the boundaries.
Right.
Gender, male and female, you have to have a beis hakiseh that's for both. And a man can become a woman, a woman can become a man, you have to have equal respect, equal rights, and everyone, they're a tremendous smile. Like, we live in a country, like we always say this, what has America given the world? Have given Klal Yisrael. They've given this new concept that never, ever existed in the history of the world, where any person can be whatever they want to be. The average person, if he wants, can be the president of the United States. You can take the highest office. You can have any job you want. You can have any skill you want. Just work hard, focus on what you want to do, and we'll give you money, you'll get loans, and we'll help you, and we'll make even laws. There shouldn't be any discrimination. Every person, it's in your hands, do hard work to be whatever you want to be. Do you know what a bracha that is? No child left behind, all of these things, everything is the same idea. This is an incredible bracha, mamish, a bracha of Mashiach, which is unprecedented in world history. In history, you are, that's it, you're born into a certain social status or a certain family. If your father was a barber, you're going to be a barber. Your father would drive a truck or drive a wagon, that's what you're going to do. There's no way out. There's no way out. You're locked in. It's unheard of. The whole world was built on this principle. And now we live in a world, this idea of America,
upward mobility
has spread. America, by example, this idea has spread to the entire world. It's the biggest bracha, but yet, within this bracha, there's a very great danger.
Right.
And the danger is, you know, at Khan, there has to still be somewhere boundaries. There has to still be boundaries. A man and women are still different. Just because equal rights, a woman can do the job, can do things that traditionally men did, okay, but it has to be different. She's a woman. A woman is not a man. A man is not a woman. You want to give equal opportunity. The person comes from a certain background. You want to do certain things, fine. But there has to still be boundaries in every area. Because a total merging, if you take this idea to the extreme, you will destroy the world. And as you said, we see it. We see with crazy, crazy things that go on in this world, which we all stop back and say, this is not right. This already has gone too far.
The fact that so many people look at this and say, this isn't right, and push back, that does tell you something.
That there's something wrong.
And it tells you that there's something still that's right, because most people are not accepting of the extremes. We just hear about them, they're louder.
I don't know if this is true, maybe you know the statistics. I read online, maybe it's totally wrong, is that the number of people in America who identify and identify with the same gender marriage, gays and lesbians and all of this whole is 3% of the United States. Is that
they make 97%.
3%, is that true?
That's
what
it is.
Wait.
It took too long to develop. 3% are what?
3% of the population of the citizens of the United States engage and promote actively live, they live the life of...
That makes sense.
Is that a true statistic?
Yeah. Don't believe the 10%.
No. Okay. Even if it be 10%. Now,
that was made up.
If you walk in, turn on the radio, you walk in the street, and you just you would think it's at least 60%. I wouldn't say everyone.
Look at my neighbor. Because of where they are situated.
What?
Because where they are situated, and in the positions they occupy, they have a louder voice, but that does not make them the majority or the norm or anything else.
Unfortunately, it influences the younger.
There's 3%. Could you imagine? You would think it's at least 60%. Maybe 50 for sure. The laws, and they talk about it, and you have to hire everyone, this and this one, that one. You have to check off all the boxes in your office, make sure you have this one. What? 3%? 3%? Get out of here. You're a minority of a minority. You know, we live in America, you're a free country, do whatever you want. But but don't go make demands on everyone, make 90% of the population meshuggah for 3%?
But they get away with it.
It's outrageous. It's totally outrageous. Someone told me the certain type of danger, whatever, the certain type of thing in society, in radiation, this thing, they've done statistics. 3% of society is susceptible, their health can be harmed by a certain type of technology that we have, whatever this technology is, 3%. So why don't the FDA and the government and all of these organizations that when you buy an electronic device, it can't have this type of chemical because 3% of the population, it can harm their health. So you know what the answer is? 3%. It's your problem. It's your problem. We're not making laws to change the whole industry and force every single company for 3%. 97% of the population, it has no effect having this type of chip and this type of, I don't know, dye, whatever it is, in the processor of a certain type of gadget. It has absolutely no effect on their health. 97%. If you're from the 3%, so it's your problem. You, every time you buy a product, so you go and make sure it doesn't have that whatever chemical they put inside.
3% is not the problem. The problem is that they've convinced 60% that it's not a problem.
Okay, they've convinced. So you're saying it's a little bit more, but it's not fair. It's not. Why have they convinced 60%? Oh, that's the answer. So, but those 60% is such foolish people to accept it.
If you make a gay joke now, and you got people jumping on you like crazy.
You make a what? Yeah, because as I said, because of where they're located and what positions they occupy.
Okay, so it's not.
That doesn't mean
there has to be.
Aren't saying. You know, aren't grumbling and saying, you know, the heck with this political correctness.
The 3% one, there should be no difference between the whole everything, no limitations. Remove all of the gevulois, hagbalah. Here we have a criticism that comes from who's complaining against Klal Yisrael. You have destroyed the world by removing the boundaries. And it's so eloquently expressed in this pasuk with all different dimensions of boundaries.
There's a group that's pushing for all these people to come in from other countries. What do they call it? No borders. No borders.
Very good. No borders in anything in life.
So, right.
No borders between men and women. No borders between right and wrong. No borders between cold and heat. These are all different dimensions of nature. All different dimensions of nature. Kima v'chsil, cold and hot. Boker is early morning. I guess it's really symbolic of life and death. Tzel Moves. The beginning of life, the end of life. It's all the same. Yom v'layla, day and night. And water, earth, and dry land. No boundaries. Everything is the same. That's not true. Hashem made a world with boundaries. The Torah gives us guidelines. Everything about the Torah involves a concept of boundaries. Just because there are boundaries doesn't mean that a person can't live a fulfilling life and have what everyone else has. Chazal said that anything that's not kosher in this world, chazir, all the worst non-kosher foods, there is something in this world that is kosher, has the exact same taste. You want to have the taste of chazer. So there's a certain type of fish. What does it say? A certain type of fish. And that fish, the eye of the fish, tastes exactly like chazer. Everything that is forbidden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created something else in this world that is permitted, that will satisfy your need for that which Hashem forbade. Therefore, Hashem is very kind. He gave every person the ability to experience it all. You want to be a Kohen Gadol? Only one person is the Kohen Gadol. I'm a Yisrael. So you know what you do? Be a Nazir. A Nazir has exactly the same sanctity as the Kohen Gadol.
But he can marry a
Gerusha. What?
He can marry a Gerusha.
A Nazir can marry a Gerusha. So
he can marry an Almana.
And so a regular Kohen can also marry an Almana. Only can marry a Gerusha. Okay. You have to analyze each thing, but generally speaking, Chazal say anything that is forbidden for one in here, you'll find a situation where it's permitted, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want to deny any living creature the ability to have it all. But yet, you'll have it all in another way, but in the way the world is set up, there are limits. There are limitations. And if you want to go break these limits as well, you are destroying the world. And this is Hashem's complaint here in these two pesukim. Let's see them inside. Let's do these pesukim inside first. Pasuk Zayin and Ches. Let's do them inside the first in the Mitzudah Savit. Zayin, Pasuk Zayin in the Mitzudah says, Ha-hoifchim asherheim mehapchim. They transform. Mishpat HaTorah HaMosoik, the sweetness. He adds this beautiful word here into this parish in the Mitzudot Stav on page 317. Kidvash, which is sweet like honey. Lokachas Tumurasu, to take in exchange. Es HaEgel HaMorah Kilano, the Egel that Yerov Ben Nevad established in Basel and in Don, which is bitter like warm wood. Laaretz Hinichu, they took Tzedakah, they throw it on the ground. Mashpilim hatzdaka adiaretz. You got to be a fool to be honest in business, right? You can't survive. If you're going to be honest, if you're not going to change your taxes, you can't survive. You can't make a parnasa. Of course, you have to go do this shtick and that shtick, and of course, cash only, and don't report or can't do cash only. Can't give me cash. So you pay me 50% in cash, and the other half you'll pay whatever. You know, all the shtick. Everyone knows all the shtick. All these things because you can't survive. Well, you can't survive in this world. It has to be done with that. That's the hinichul aris. They leave it for the lowlifes. They leave it for the homeless. They can be righteous, but everyone else has to be corrupt. Oisek kima uchasil musav lemikol shlofnei ponav. The previous pasuk shama dirshu as Hashem v'zehu oisek. These people, instead of seeking out Hashem, what do? Oisek. It's an unusual usage of the word oisek here. Means to transform. It's similar to the word ha'hoifchem, to transform. Kima uchasil im ki hema mischalfim bipu'uloi sehem. Each one has a completely opposite purpose, a different function. Kima mikorer, this star or this constellation, whatever it is, a constellation probably, a collection of stars, what does it do in this world?
Well, that was Ursa, right? Gemara Brachos.
Hashem took a star from Kima to bring the Mabel. Right. He took a star out and he changed the magnetic pull, magnetic pull of the earth.
Constellation.
So Kima Mikorer, it brings...
Pleiades.
Yes. Okay, so it brings coldness. Uchasil Mechamein.
Sorry, Seal is identified as Orion.
Okay. Mechamein v'hoifech, next words, es hatzalmovetz mahapech liyos boiker. Death, the shadow of death. Things in this world which are dead ends. It becomes a new religion. It becomes boker. Mahabech lios boker, v'yesayoy machshech lios lail. They take the day, they make it into the night. Hakor l'mei hayom, l'haloysam be'ovim, v'achar zman shevch malpnei oretz. They take the waters, it's not really clear what it means. They break the boundaries. You cause the clouds. Hakor l'mei hayom, l'haloysam be'ovim, v'achar zman shevch malpnei oretz. Hashem Shemoy Hamoyreshu Adoin HaKol. So it could be, if I'm not mistaken over here, I'm not really sure, but it seems that the Mitzudos learns that this last expression of HaKorei Lemei Hayom is a description of Hashem. I translated this as another example of breaking the boundaries. People that want to go and make the dry land into water, and the water into dry land, everything should be just submerged. It does not seem that's how he learns Pshan the Pasek, the Mitzudos David. He seems to say this is a description of Hashem. Hashem is the Almighty, the All-Powerful. And one of the things that Kodesh Baruch Hu, an expression of his ultimate power, is he has the ability to bring the earth, the water, the Eid Yalam in Aretz, to bring mist up from the earth into the clouds and bring those clouds in the world where he wants, and then to release the water, to release their water to bring rain where he wants. The koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give rain is an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power. That is why we all know Mashiv HaRuach U'Moirid HaGeshem is positioned in the bracha of Techiyas HaMesim. Because the koyach of Geshem is not a koyach, is not a natural koyach that logically should work, should exist such a thing. The Chazal said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps in his hand three keys. He gives out the keys. Well, today wouldn't be the key. Today would be a combination, right? It would be the password or whatever, some type of a password, some type of high-tech code, whatever it is. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is old-fashioned. He's old-fashioned.
Except the Shabbos.
He still has keys, you know, those things, you know, your grandchildren, your great grandchildren, not even know what they are. Just like they never heard, they had it was hilarious, unbelievable. They had a teenagers, they look like they were even 18 years old. They look like, yeah. And they gave them a regular rotary phone. You see this video, it's just unbelievable. And they were mamas trying to figure out what it is. And they were like, putting their finger in and doing the dial. And they had no clue what this thing is. They've never seen a rotary telephone from the olden days. They only know from the buttons, and probably not even that. You know, they have the smartphones. You know, piece of glass, and it's like really revealing. And it's not a joke. They never saw a rotary phone. So,
how many rotary phones are there used
today? None.
None.
Are there any phone booths anymore? They don't exist. No. A phone booth anymore? You ever see a phone booth anywhere? All gone. A relic of the past. What about Superman? I don't know. Elevator.
That's why we have so many problems. They took away the phone booths and so Superman can't help us anymore.
I think he has to use an elevator. He has to the elevator. They go. He changes down the elevator. They say. Okay, in any event, to me, Superman was like a real, you know, a real Yiddish, Hamish, the mensch. The cape is a talus, no? The cape is a talus, and that big S is a tefillin. You put on this shin, you know, the shin on the tefillin.
Rabbi Parnas, why you
can
say that's the only television show
he
let his children watch. Was so far removed from reality, he wasn't afraid they'd be influenced by it. That's what he used to tell.
What kind of man walks in pajamas in the streets? Okay. Laila Kare Lemayam. So therefore, over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a description. It appears, according to the parish of the Mitzudos, these last words of HaKare Lemay Hayam. Hashem calls out to the waters of the sea. He brings them into the clouds through heat, through whatever it's called, the scientific terms, whatever they are.
Evaporation
into the cloud. Evaporation. Is that the correct word? Into the clouds. The yale min haaretz. Hashem then takes those clouds and sends them where he wants. And then when he wants, Hashem has the key, three keys Hashem has. The key to childbirth, the key to rain, and the key to techiyas hamesim. Hashem keeps them on his keychain. He has a keychain, those three keys. He does not give those keys to anyone. All the other keys, he gives out to all of his misharsim. And that is why there's something called Avodah Zarah. Because if there are other powers in this world that have the key, it must be they have power. And even if they are not the ultimate power, who cares? You got the key. You got the goods. I'll worship you because you are the one that can provide me with what I need because you have the key. But Hashem is the one who retains the keys to these three things. So you see that rain is a manifestation of Kadosh Baruch Hu's ultimate power. Birth, obviously, and Trias HaMesim, and rain. So rain, obviously, we have to understand what this means, but rain, obviously, it seems to be a reality in this world that goes against the grain of nature. We've brainwashed everything is nature. There are certain things in this world that are not nature. Childbirth and rain. Trias HaMesim has not yet happened, But these other two things are examples of Hashem's power, and therefore Hashem Shemoi, Hashem is His name, Hamorishu Adoyin HaKol, Hashem is the Master. Let's now take a look at Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Zayin and Ches, Tupsukim HaHoifchim Lalana Mishpon Ve'enam Zoichim HaFi Choisai. Now he has a whole new pshat, Rashi. The people, they transform Mishpat into a Lana, and Tzedakah in Nichul Aretz, and they do not remember that I am the one, the Enam Zoichim HaFi Choisai. Shani hoifech la boiker tsalmodes, ye sheshruin ata bachoshech, vani ner lohem, the yoim lila hechshech, the yeish, there are people in this world, shesha osoy omedes loika or hayoim, that everything is going their way, vani machshicha la lila, and I can make their light into darkness. So Rashi is even more radical than the Mitzudos David. He learns the only breakdown. Well, the only breakdown of he's ignoring though at least in the beginning. Rashi here is ignoring the Kiman Kasil.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's not explaining what that means. But let's assume that it's all part of the same parish of Hoifech Laboiker Tzalmoves. It seems that according to Rashi, the only complaint that Hashem is lodging against the Jewish people is found in Pasuk Zayin. Not the way we translate the words in the very beginning. In the very beginning, we said Hashem has a lot of complaints. Number one, we pervert Mishpat and Tzedakah. Number two, we break down the division between Kima and Ksil. Number three, we make Boker into Tzalmoves. Number four, we make Yom Lalila. Number five, we would want to destroy the world by bringing the water. We'll live on a boat. We'll go, global warming. The sea will rise. All of the glaciers will melt and the water will cover the earth and we'll live on water. Right? That's what we want to do. That's what we want to do. That's how I translated the pasuk in the very beginning. So the Mitsudo says, you make a mistake. The last expression of covering the earth with water, that's not part of my complaint that you're breaking down, you're destroying my world. It's an expression of my power. Hashem is saying that let me tell you who I am. I can bring rain. Just the fact that I'm the one who brings rain, that should be enough to awaken you to realize that I control this world, and therefore all the other things that we've mentioned don't do. I'm complaining that you pervert Mishpat and Tzedakah. I'm complaining, according to the Mitzvot, you could pervert Kima and Ksil, you pervert Boker and Tzalmoves, you pervert Yom Valayla. I have a complaint, and you convert Yom Valayla. That's my Rashi says even less. My only complaint against you is the perversion of Mishpat and Tzedakah. And you forget to realize how powerful I am, that if I want, I'm assuming this is what Rashi means, if I want, I can change Kima to Kasil, I can change Boker to Tzalmoves, I can change Yom Lalila, I can change Yom Lalila, and I can bring rain because I am the Almighty Hashem Shemoi. People, you're so foolish to realize Hashem's incredible power. So let's read the words one more time. Pasuk Zayin begins, Ahoifchem Lulana Mishpat. The people are corrupt. It has become not in style to exercise Mishpat and Tzedakah. The person is honest, has integrity, he's a fool. He's just a plain, simple fool. It's so easy. Someone told me yesterday, I was speaking after, it really made a real powerful impact upon me. His fellow is 95 years old. He used to live in the neighborhood over here. He used to come down and he used to talk to him. It was a whole story. But right now he lives in Florida. He's 95 years old. He's 100% there. His mind is clear as a bell. He has some medical issues. So I call him to say hello once in a while. I call him to wish him happy Hanukkah. He has a very different background, so you know he's reminiscing about his entire life. Unfortunately, he never got married. He told me four times in his life he was this close to getting married. And just somehow, some way, it unraveled. Four times. He was like reminiscing about his entire life. And he says that he went, his integrity is second to none. I don't know any rabbi that has such, except for you, has such impeccable integrity. And he tells me all these stories, telling me the story that when he came back from the army, he served in the Navy, World War II. He almost lost his life many times. And then he didn't have a job, whole story. And then someone said to him, come, just pay $3,000 and you'll be on the books to get Social Security. If you'll pay $3,000, there was a shtick going on. There was a shtick going on that you don't have to have a job. Even if you don't have a job and your company is not paying in for you, your Social Security, all you got to do is pay $3,000 to this organization, and it will make believe that you're working for them. They'll put you on the books. And then when you'll retire, you'll have Social Security. And you don't have to do anything. You have to work. Just have to pay them $3,000. So he said, he's not going to do it. And everyone was doing this. He says, I'm not going to do this. It's not honest. It's just not ethical. It's not ethical. And then it came time to get the Social Security. He didn't have any money. He didn't have whatever. The whole story folded. And he told people, so they said, why didn't you do this shtick? Like all of us. So he says, it's not honest. It's not ethical. So they said, you're a fool. You're a fool. You didn't go. You could have $3,000. You could have had. So the government doesn't. They don't know what's going on. The government. They don't know. Benjamin is small. The government's so big, and they waste billions and billions of dollars. And he says, no, it's not honest. It's not. It's not ethical. It's not honest. It's outright gezel. I don't work. It's a whole shtick you're playing over here. You know, he's 95 years old. He's Baruch Hashem. All of his friends, he told me, they're long gone.
Social Security
is also gone. It's also on the way out. Also gone. It's ours. You know, there's something about this. So the people, it's like, he said that you're crazy. They made him say, you're a moron. You're a moron. You want to be honest? You want to be honest and not give the $3,000 so you'll have Social Security? The government will pay out for you enormous amounts of money? You're a shaita. So Hashem says, who's the shaita? They're the shaitan. You have created a society where to be normal, you got to be a fool. You got to be a fool. Ha'hoifchim l'lana mishpat. It's bitter to be honest. Utztakol aretz hanichu. You want to be a tzaddik? You want to exercise tzedakah? This is for the fools. This is for the aretz, for the homeless people, for the people that have nothing to live for. This is what Hashem complains. Hashem says, listen, the day is over. I'm in control. I control the constellations. I control people who are living. Not everything is going their way. They're on the top of the world. They're boker. Hashem says, in a snap, they'll be the bottom, all the way on the bottom. They'll be in a matziv of tzalmoves. There are people that are tzalmoves, people that are low, that are nothing. They can be raised in a moment to boker. And people that are yom, everything is going their way. In a moment, they can be lalayla hechshech. Hashem says, I'm the balabos. I control the world. I bring the rain. This is the perush of Rashi. Everything that follows after the pasuk Zayin is an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power. The Einam Zoichrim, the first line of Rashi, is Hafi Choisai. People don't realize who the boss is, who controls man's fate. When you can go from one place to the next, Sha'ani, it is I Hashem Hoifech Laboiket Salmoves, which means, Yesh, there are people in this world, Sheshruin Ata Bachoshech, they're in a very, very bad place. They're in a very difficult matzah, they have no help, no one's coming to help them. And you know what, Hashem, if I want Va'ani, Meir Lohem, I give them light. V'yoyim L'layla Hechshech, V'yesh Sheshosso Yemedes Loike Or Hayoyim, there are people who are living a good life. Okay, they're living a good life. Hayom v'ani machshicha l'layil, and I can make their life dark. Hakar l'mei hayom yoyna son tirgeim. This is similar to what it says in the Mitzudos. Ta'amar licha nosho mashiryon sagion. I say to gather. Rabbi, you want to help me with the translation of the Judaica Press? What it says over here, how they translate the Targum? Judaica Press always translates every Rashi word for word. That's a tremendous advantage. The Amar lechanosha, Mashiryon sagion kime yama umivadar lohoin alape ara. I gather the arrogant, and I spread it upon the face of the earth. Lechanosha, I say to gather. Mashurion Sagion.
Oh, I see. Okay. There are some who live now in darkness for whom I made it light. Is that the phrase?
The next go further. Yeah, correct.
And there is one for whom the time is favorable as the light of day, and I darken it as night.
Okay, next.
Oh, okay. Now
I call.
He who said to gather camps as numerous as the waters of the sea and scatter them upon the face of the earth.
Okay, so the waters are referring to, very good. So the camps, l'chanosha mashuryon, camps, which means populations, countries, people, human beings. They are numerous beyond count, and Hashem picks them up, like Hashem causes the water to evaporate into the clouds and blows the cloud to the end of the world and drops out and deposits the rain. Where do we find that in history? The Dor HaFloga. Hashem picked up all the people in Bavel and he spread them out throughout the entire world. But I was saying the Parashu, I think he's coming to explain what the Targum says. Al Dor Enosh Sheheitzif, Hashem dispersed Aleihem es Mei Okyonos. Okay, he caused the Mei. Well, this is another Mei. She was saying the Okyonos is the Mediterranean. Hashem, they died. They were flooded. Hashem, Shemai. When was that? Let's read the end.
Right.
So we are all taught that the Dor Enosh is not the Tower of Babel. Not Babel. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Not the Tower of Babel. I'm sorry. I'm talking Dor Enosh. We're going back to Adam, creation. Adam had a son by the name of Enosh after Cain killed
Adam.
Shase Enosh. So Enosh was the third person, right? The third person. Shase was the replacement for Cain. Cain killed Hevel. What became of Cain? Nothing. Cain disappeared. There's only one thing we have left from Cain. What's that? Noach's wife. Noach's wife was the daughter of Cain. So Cain does live on. Okay, we think that the world today were all descendants of Shase. There was Cain and Hevel. Hevel was killed. He's gone. Who was left? Cain. What happened to Cain? He was cursed. Nov and Nod. Okay, he was cursed. Hashem made a sign to him, no one should kill him, but we never heard about him. He's gone. And then what happened after Cain? So the world, he's a nomad. He's gone, disappears. So Adam and Chava, they need to populate the world. So Adam is Chava Ishtoi. They had another child, Shase. Ki shosli elukim zera acher, tachas hevel ki harogoi koyin. A new replacement. Shase, after Shase comes Enosh. And Enosh, then when Avodah Zarah began, and Enosh, down his line comes Noach. The world is destroyed, and the only survivor is Noach, Shem, Cham, and Yefes, and their wives. So that means Cain is gone. Cain, Hevel. Hevel's killed. Cain, who knows what happened to him? Adam had a child later on. Shase goes straight down, produced Noach. Everyone else perished, except for Oig. But everyone else perished. So that means Cain and Hevel have no Zecher in this world. Hevel certainly not that we know of. Cain, so it would seem it has no Zecher, but Chazal tell us Cain did have a daughter. And his daughter's name was Nama. And who married Nama? Noach. Noach. So Cain does still exist. The original child of this world, the Bechor. The Bechor of this world was Cain. Cain and Hevel. So Cain, to a degree, lives on in us. We're all descendants. Shem, Cham, and Yefes are children from Noach, who is from the line of Shase. And the other one is the cousin, is Cain. Now, who were the other women who were involved? I don't know. Obviously, there were other women that had to produce these people, but Chazal don't mention them. They don't just talk about them, but they do talk about Cain's daughter, which is significant. They mention it's obviously very significant that we today are a product of Shase and Cain. Every living creature today is a product of these two children. Cain, the mother, Adam's first child, and Adam's third child, Shase. The middle child syndrome. Did not get any attention. The middle child. The b'chara and the baby. What about the middle child? It all comes from creation because there were three children, Cain and Chase. But Hevel, nowhere to be found. Okay, don't take everything I say so seriously, obviously. Okay, let's go further than Rashi. Hakari, I'm a middle child. Hakari lemei hayom. Hakari lemei hayom. So therefore, we have the dar enosh. Now, enosh, going back, what happened to enosh? In the dar enosh, this is a mystery. We don't even have, we don't know about this. And the enosh, historical fact, is that there was that they were evil people. What did they do exactly at Avodah Zarah? They worshipped idols, and Hashem was not pleased, so Hashem destroyed a third of the world. That what it says, Shehetzif alimitzmei okyanus, the Mediterranean. It flooded the world. And I think the Medrash in its entirety says Hashem destroyed a third of the world. This before the Mabel. Before the Mabel. Mabel destroyed the entire world. This destroyed a third of the world because of the sins of Enosh. The Enosh, they invented Avodah Zarah. It was their invention, and as a punishment, they were destroyed. Hashem Shvai, Lo Hoya Lochem Lavoid. There's only one God, Hashem, and therefore Lo Hoya Lochem Lavoid. That's one who you worship. The Hu Hoya Magbir Eschem Al Soneichem, and He is the one. Hashem is the one that caused your enemies to prevail. Magbir Eschem. This is a euphemism. We don't want to say. We don't want to be Tiftach Pel Satan. So Rash does not say, "V'hu hoya Hashem is the one that's magbir your enemies, soinechem, al upon you." But you don't want to say that. You don't want to go and say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed us. So therefore, it's Lashon Saginar. We say Hashem caused our enemies, our allowed us to prevail over our enemies. And we really mean the opposite. But we don't want to say Tifach Pel L'Satan. So over here, now question, why over here is Hashem mentioning the Dor Enosh? Very simple. It's because over here, what is Hashem complaining? That was the thing we learned yesterday. He's complaining about Avodah Zarah. Yeravam ben Nevat, what did you do? You established three locations to worship idols. Beisel, Don, and Be'er Sheva. According to one parish, Be'er Sheva was not a place of worship. It was a road. It was a vehicle, a way, a means to get to the Avodah Zarah. But being that, in the beginning of this parak, we focused on the tragedy that after there was a split in the Malchus between Yehuda and Yisrael, in order that they should not come back together, Yoram ben Nevat said that is outrageous, and he created Avodah Zarah, the Egel Hazav, all over again. He took an Egel, one in Basel, one in Don, and he made a temple, and he told people to worship the Egel, to Avodah Zarah, and now if that was not enough, we learned about Gilgal. There was Gilgal, they also worshiped Avodah Zarah, and there was also Be'er Sheva, the four places, and Be'er Sheva. That's what we mentioned yesterday, the four places, Be'er Sheva, Gilgal, Basel, and Don, four centers of Avodah Zarah, and Hashem says, you are a bunch of fools. What are you doing? Look at what happened to the first people who worshipped idols. Who was the first generation to worship idols? The Dar Enosh. The Dar Enosh worshipped idols. And what happened to them? Hashem brought a flood, destroyed them. Now we have a greater appreciation of why it says here, Kimo Ukesil. How did Hashem bring the Mabel? How did Hashem bring the Mabel? So what does it say in Chazal? Hashem took a star out of Kimo and Kesil. Gemara. They took a star. I don't know the exact words. There are some constellations.
He manipulated
them. And even scientists explain what this means. Very similar. We could fully comprehend what this means. And that is, there's a magnetic. There is a gravitational pull. As the Earth rotates around the Sun, it does not go in a perfect circle. Why not? Because there are constellations out there in the galaxy, which these constellations have a unique gravitational pull. And as the Earth goes around, there's a gravitational pull.
It pulls them.
So there is some type of koyach which causes the Earth to spin around the Sun, but there is interference. What is the interference? The gravitational pull around in all the different 360 degrees around the Earth, around the Sun is not the same. It is not the same. And therefore, as the Earth goes around, it does not go in a perfect circle. it's being pulled over here a little bit more and being pulled here a little bit less. So it ends up going around in an ellipse. That ellipse causes hurricanes, it causes earthquakes, it causes rain, it causes all different types of things. Okay, they say, if it's true or not, that before the Mabul, the earth traveled around the sun in a perfect circle. And scientists, some want to make this argument, if we were able to somehow manipulate outer space and the earth, we can somehow manipulate the earth to travel around the sun in a perfect circle, we would live 1,000 years. Nature, there would be no hurricanes, no earthquakes, there would be no disease, it would be a perfect world. If only the earth would rotate around the sun in a perfect circle. And indeed, that's the way it was in the time of Maaseh Bereishis. A perfect world means a perfect circle. When man became corrupt and evil, and Hashem wanted to destroy the world, what did Hashem do? He took out a star from Kima, Kima and Kisil, and manipulated the gravitational pull of the earth around the sun, where it no longer travels around the sun in a perfect circle. It travels in an ellipse. By traveling the ellipse, it changes everything. Everything gets off whack. And that causes malfunctions in the world, malfunctions in the earth, malfunctions among human beings, and that's why we struggle with the four seasons, and we don't have a perfect world because of the Mabul. So here Hashem is alluding to that there was another Mabul. You think the Mabul of Noach was the first Mabul? It was the second Mabul. There was a Mabul in the Dor Enosh when they invented Avodah Zarah. And in that Mabul, Hashem did exactly the same thing. He was Oisei Chima Uchasil. Hashem manipulated these two constellations, which, just like Hashem manipulated these two constellations, which caused there to be a Mabul, Hashem also manipulated them on a smaller level in order to flood a third of the world. That's what happened to Enosh. So we're going back over here to the first of the Zohar to bring out these points. Okay, listen to the Rashi. So Rashi, again, he's quoting over here. So the Targum is not really what it says in the Rabbeinu Perushu. According to the Targum tells of that Kavos Baruch Hu picks up the Amar Lechanosha Mashirani. Hashem says to collect camps, populations, mighty populations, like the Yamsuf, and Hashem distributes them. Population relocation. Who is the master at this? Sancheriv. Sancheriv relocated. Every citizen of the world was relocated to a new territory, so you should not be comfortable with from where you are. You don't have time to rebel. You have to figure out how to survive in a new environment. You're not going to have time to plan and plot and make trouble for Sancheriv. Every human being was relocated except for Yerushalayim. That he didn't succeed. That was his last goal, but that he did not succeed. But the Aseres HaShvatim were relocated by who? By Sancheriv. Navi here is addressing the Aseres HaShvatim, is telling them what's going to happen to them. They're going to be relocated. And the Mashal uses the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the same way he causes water to evaporate, enter the clouds, and be relocated, and then sent off to a part of the world and release their water. Likewise, when Hashem wants you are idolaters, you're not loyal to me, I'll pick you up, and I will relocate you to another part of the world, no matter how big and mighty you are, because Hashem Tzavaka Shema, Hashem can do whatever He wants. Okay, that's the parish of the Targum. But the Mitzudois of the Targum, Rashi quotes Rabbeinu, and Hashem is warning you, watch out, I'm going to flood you, I'm going to kill you, you're going to perish, just like the first idolaters were flooded and drowned in the Me'ak Yonas. Hashem Shemo, you should worship me. Don't worship the idols. And if you're not going to worship me, realize that I'm going to cause your enemies to prevail upon you and to bring upon you harm. Okay, let's just maybe start the Radak a little bit, just for maybe a minute or two before we stop. The Radak over here says, the Pasuk Zayin HaHoifchem, L'lana Mishpat Ki HaMalachim HaShoiftim VeHaShoiftim Matim HaDin V'Noistim P'nei HaGedoylim B'Mishpat. Bribery, corruption. Their mishpat is lashukim k'moy halana, to the oppressed. When you go to court, and if you're a poor person, it's bitter. It's bitter experience to go to a din Torah. You're going to be taken advantage of. The psak will go to the highest bidder. It's a bitter experience. V'nehu hepach, it's the opposite. Ki ha-mishra kashahu al-kanoi, hu dover olivitoim, uchshu mu'uvis humar. Why are we calling it bitter? Because when mishpat is correct, it's sweet. There's nothing more, nothing sweeter in this world than mishpat. Melech oyhev tzedaka u'mishpat. No one's going to give tzedakah. Now, he meant they do not remember what happened in the time of oisei kimuch sil. Shu oisei b'chem mishpat utztaka ba'aretz. V'limei livnei adam shayasu gam kein kemosh amar ani Hashem oisei chesed mishpat utztaka ba'aretz ki be'ilu chafatzinu. I think what the Bardakovia means, you forgot what happened back in the day at the time of the Mabul when HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the world at the time of Noach. I think he's learning Pshat is because of Rashi says in Chumash. Even though the pasuk begins ki hishchisu kol basar darkam al aretz, the gzar din was because of chomos, and therefore because of that chomos, what did Hashem do? The Perush Gemara said Hashem he manipulated the kimo kasil and he destroyed the world, the mabul chomos. What we can say is that the world was not destroyed because of the internet, because of tznius, because of talking during davening, because of lashon hara. The world was destroyed because people were cheating on their taxes. That's how you translate. That's how you translate those words. There's no other way to translate those words. That's how you would translate those words in the 21st century, right? Ki hishchis kol basar darkoi al haaretz. Open up the Flapper Jewish Journal, and you learn what that means. Talking during davening, tznius, lashon hara, you name it, a long, long list. I have to maybe prepare some of the. But it's no. Hashem says, Noach, boel ki kabol ateva ki mola ha'aretz chomos mipnehem. You can close the Flapper Jewish Journal. You're not going to find a seminar in the Flapper Jewish Journal warning people, tax season's around the corner, be scrupulously honest. Be machmir. Give the government more than they deserve. He told me, you know, he actually told me, this fellow, I told you, he's 95 years old, he told me that they used to call from the IRS, and they would say to him, we've got over your tax return, and, you know, you've given more than you're required. Why are you giving more paying higher taxes than you required? So he says, I'm a nervous person, and I want to make sure I pay my due, because I never my whole life took something. I never my whole life was dishonest. Not, I don't want to be dishonest. If I'll pay another $500 more than I, just in case, I want to leave this world with full honesty. You ever hear a story like that? Never, ever, ever. Today, even the tax, they would never even call you anymore, the IRS.
I've heard this guy playing with you.
He's not, no, he's not. He's not playing with me. He is not. I'm telling you, I know him since a child. I know him.
I know this person
really, really well. I really know him well. The guy, it's a sin. He never got married. He was an older fellow. He used to take home, for years, he used to take home the boys from Night Seder. The only reason why he had a car was for one reason. Every night he would take home from Myra with all the boys from Night Seder. He would stuff them in the car like sardines and drive everyone home for free. For free. He wanted the boys should go home safely at night from Night Seder. That's the only reason why he had a car. He didn't need a car because he lived around the corner. He was retired. He did well. You know, he did. He had money. It seems like he, you know, he did very well in business. He was a businessman. And he used to tell him that his grandmother used to tell him, Morris, why don't you be a rabbi? Why don't you become a rabbi? So he says, Rabbi, who am I to be a rabbi? Rabbi. This is now I look around, boy, I could have been a rabbi. I see what goes on over here with the rabbis in this society. I would have been a good rabbi.
So I heard a story that there are some countries, like take Italy, where everybody cheats, and therefore they build in a factor of cheating. And when they figure out how much tax you owe, and there was an honest kid, and he argued with them that this is.
Crazy.
I'm not cheating. This is, you know, everything I've declared is honest. So he had a fight
because they wouldn't believe that. Unbelievable. Anybody didn't.
That's the worst. That's how corrupt society is. America's becoming like that. Such degree of corruption is just...
You saw this week's FJJ?
No.
See?
I did not see, no.
Each cover, bold letters, attack on how yeshiva is by Dr. Seva, the state requiring secular education.
That's a very controversial... I don't think it's an attack. I think it's kedai that people should know how to... People should know how to sign their name, how to read and write, and do some arithmetic, basic arithmetic,
and not
following the rule.
That's
another topic of discussion. Not now.
Not
everything you read in the Flappish Jewish Journal is correct.
Really?
I sell the Sregen for sure. I don't give hundreds of Sregen. One person said, what do you pay for the Sregen? I only want to take off that amount.
The taxes.
The excess amount.
But it raises a red flag when you, they think that you, of course it does. Psychologists, I watch people when you're too honest. It means they figure you cheated even more after trying to make it look like you're honest.
That's what I said yesterday.
It's a real problem. But usually it's true. That's the thing. Talk about keys. You know what a key is in Yiddish? It's a cow.
A cow?
It's a key. My mother-in-law was in the United States, came to the United States. She must have been looking from neighbor or whatever, and from the ground floor. Someone calls up to the apartment above and says, Barfarut to the key. And while they were saying this, once it was going to come out the window.
Third, fourth grade, that's it. Everybody know where to shot in this way?
The other one.
The
back is the store.
Yeah.
That's between
L and M.
Right smack in the middle.